Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. A local college professor decided to push back against anti-racism training because it's racist. During a racially segregated Courageous Conversations training session for staff members over at Lake Washington Institute of Technology, English professor Elisa Parrott decided to speak up and essentially express her distaste for these types of indoctrination sessions. And since then, she's been facing this onslaught of criticism that her colleagues, her opponents, hope will end up pushing her out of school. In fact, she's being investigated for not falling in line. Joining me on the line to discuss this incredibly troubling situation is Professor Elisa Parrott. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with your just general objections to the training and how you presented them.
Well, I actually specifically was objecting to a couple of different things. I objected first to segregating the training by race, but more strongly, I objected to this idea that we couldn't have conversations, that we couldn't talk about ideas. It felt like one viewpoint was being given to us, and we were told that we had to listen to that one viewpoint, and we had to listen to it with an open mind and not question it. And so I talked about questioning it, and I said things like democracy thrives on conversations, as a college, we're supposed to explore ideas. My focus is academic freedom. Universities were created as places where there was no such thing as heresy. That's the historical origin of the idea of a university. There's no such thing as an unacceptable thought or idea. So I was like, let's talk.
What was the idea that they were trying to tell you shouldn't be challenged?
Their repeated statements have been that I was unwilling to learn in a situation where they were trying to teach us about, they were giving us definitions for key terms like white privilege, white fragility, white supremacy, and it was all their definitions and their ideas of how we needed to address these things. And so that's really what I was saying is, can we talk about these definitions? Mm-hmm. Can I question them? Can we have a discussion about the inherent underlying ideology that is supporting these definitions?
Well, what's wonderful about all of this and how sinister it actually is, they come up with definitions that mean you simply saying, can we question some of these definitions, plays in to what they claim is white fragility, that you're only calling this out because you're a fragile white person and you're only trying to impose your will to have a conversation because of your white superiority. I mean, it is such a scam the way that a lot of these folks push it out there, and they do it in these, it's sort of clouded in this or enshrined in these faux academic terms. It's not. It's just flatly indoctrination session. So you spoke up. How did your school and your colleagues respond both at the time and then in the days after?
Well, it's interesting that you brought up this idea of calling people fragile, right, using white fragility to stop people from saying, hey, I object, because the training I was, you know, participating in was very focused on white fragility, very focused on Robin DiAngelo's books and her ideas. And after I spoke up, well, first of all, I was cut off in the middle of my speech, and I refused to back down.
Good.
I said, no, you're not going to cut me off, and I kept talking. And so after I was done talking, I had a couple of colleagues verbally tell me that I had behaved in a horrible manner, that if any student had acted the way that I had in a classroom, they would be referred to student conduct, which specifically they said any of your students, if they behaved this way, would be referred to to student conduct, and I said, well, you haven't been in any of my classes. My classes are very open places. And in the chat, it just went wild during my speech with people saying, mute her, get her quiet. I'm not, you know, I'm taking off my headphones until she's muted. And then after I was done, people saying, this is a perfect example of white fragility.
Yep.
How could she use her white privilege to behave this way? you know, just so much of that.
So if you're just joining us, we're talking with Professor Elisa Parrott from the Lake Washington Institute of Technology. She decided to boldly speak out against an anti-racist training because it is, in fact, racist the way that they did it. It was segregated by design. So you now find yourself under investigation by the school?
Yes. A few days after I spoke out, I received an email from the president of the college where she said she needed me to consider how successful I could be at the college in the future. And when I responded in a way that she didn't like, she said, you're not taking this seriously enough, so I'm going to write an all-college email specifically calling you out on your actions, and I'm going to have the bias response team investigate this as a bias incident. Now, they never did actually investigate it as a bias incident, but they put me under investigation for a list of allegations that have emotional language and no connection to the contract or anything written, right? It's not she violated the contract. It's she was insolent, she was angry, she yelled, which I didn't, but they said I did. And, of course, there was the all-college email, which the president sent to everyone in the college, saying that addressing my words out of context, misquoting me, and saying that I was racist.
When that happened, what went through your mind when you got that email, when you saw that all-campus email?
You know, I was in shock. I knew that there would potentially be some effects for what I had done. I knew that my decision might have consequences. I had not expected that. And I was, for a long time, I had a hard time figuring out what to think except just, whoa, this just happened.
And what was the response from the campus? Were there any voices that showed you support?
Yes, there were. During the meeting when I was speaking, or, well, after I was speaking, I got some private chats from people who were supportive. Afterwards, I got some emails from people who were supportive. And after the all-college email went out, I got a little bit more notice from people who were supportive. But the thing is, they also cut me off from my college email. So I just learned a few days ago that I had gotten at least one letter of support after she sent the all-college email that I never received because my college email, I didn't have access to my college email. I am now in contact with that person, but I don't know if there's more support that I simply cannot see because they isolated me.
Did the union back you?
The union...
They didn't, did they?
It's a little bit mixed. The union gave supported a grievance against President Morrison for the letter, for what they called undue discipline. But my colleague, Phil Snyder, who was the grievance officer, and I wanted them to support a grievance over academic freedom and freedom of speech, because those things are also very clear in our contract. And the union said, yeah, we don't want to actually make this a freedom of speech issue. So that grievance was brought by Professor Snyder and myself because we're allowed to bring our own grievance.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, this is a public school for those of you who are, because I don't know how many people realize Lake Washington Institute of Technology. That's a public school.
Yes.
So sorry, I cut you off, but what?
Oh, I was just going to say that the grievances, of course, went nowhere. The people who finally arbitrate on whether or not the grievance is going to be successful are the administrators we were grieving against. And after that, we could have taken the grievances to arbitration, but only with the support of the union, and the union chose not to support any arbitration for their grievance or ours.
So what is your goal in telling this story at this point? Because obviously, you know, you're going as far as you can within that system. They clearly are, or it seems like they're clearly hitting you on the basis of your viewpoint, which is viewpoint discrimination, which is not supposed to happen at these public schools. What is your end goal?
I think it's important. I think that there are a lot of people losing faith in colleges and even in K through 12 schools because they're seeing these kinds of trainings, they're seeing these kinds of ideologies take over. And I think it's really important for people to see that there are professors, that there are people within who are fighting back, who care about freedom of speech, who care about academic freedom, who care about debate, critical thought, who think that it's important not to be presenting just one viewpoint. And I did get a fair amount of support. 25 separate people supported me either agreeing with my viewpoint or at least telling me that I was treated poorly. Oh, it's 26 now, sorry. And so we're here. Many people are scared.
Yeah, I bet.
They are afraid that they're going to be, oh, I don't know, put under investigation.
Are you scared? Are you still scared?
No, I am not scared anymore. I have taken on the samurai mindset. I think that I'm going to be fired, and I have accepted that.
Will you sue? I know that the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education is trying to talk some sense into this school, and the FIRE has worked with me in the past, and they've been frequent guests on this show, members of the FIRE. It's an amazing organization. Do you intend to sue?
I will fight for freedom of speech in any way that I can.
Good. I hope that's sounds like you're saying yes, and I hope that that's the case, because this cannot go unpunished.
Yes.
So, yes, you will sue.
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, we will back you on that. Now, of course, we will reach out to the school. We'll see if their president wants to come on and give her side of things. Professor Elisa Parrott, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate being able to come on the show and tell my story.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show on KTTH. If you want to send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, I'll be on Tucker Carlson later this evening talking about all of the unrest in Portland. In fact, we're going to get to that and so much more when we come back. But first, let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic.